What I would like to talk on is, what is church and who is church? And as I go through this, I mean, as most times when I speak, it all sounds a bit kind of out there and, you know, but it will come together, trust me. No, trust him, don't trust me. According to the English dictionary, church is a building used for public Christian worship. But we know different to that. According to scripture, there is one church which includes all those who belong to Jesus Christ in unity, forming the bride and body on earth. It is not a building, but it is a living body of people. Please don't misunderstand when we say church is not a building, right? Buildings have its purpose. Hence, I would not be here doing half the work that I'm doing. The church is you and me making the body of Christ, which I believe we know this. Romans 12, verse 4 through to 5. For as one body, we have many members. And the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. As we all know, the Christian church originated in Rome in the first century. It was founded on the teachings of Jesus Christ, who gathered disciples who later became known as Christians. And Jesus gave them a commandment: go into all the world, preach the gospel. I was once asked, why do I come to this fellowship? And I thought, very good question. But then the person actually went on to say, why didn't you go to a fellowship that included your kind of people? And I thought to myself, what is my kind of people? Needless to say, the individual who said that is no longer here, right? But what I realized is that individual had a very flawed sense of what it meant to be in fellowship and in community. Later on, I'll go into some of those things that I shall look at later on anyway. But I'd like you to know that you are my people. And you are my family. And you know something? Do you know something? Whether you like it or not. Because you can't choose your family. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Another question you'll hear asked: are you a real church? And I used to struggle with this. When they say, are you a real church? What they were actually asking, do you have your own building? Because, you see, if you were, like we were for many years as a church, we were going from school halls to community centers, and, you know, and a lot of people used to say, oh, that's not a real church, you know. And you think to yourself, as far as I was concerned, a real church was wherever my family was and God was. That's church. You know, it's not about the building, but this is people's flawed sense of understanding what it is to be church and community. As per usual, I'd like to do a demonstration, or an illustration, I should say. Right. I'd like two people to help me, Maria. Could you just stand over there? Norbert, Could you just stand here for me, please? What I'm going to talk about right now is two different schools of thought. Now, over here, you can see Maria, she's standing by, we're going to call this a dance school. This is a dance school. Dance school. School. Yes. Right? We're going to call this a dance school. Right? Up here, this is a school of fish. Maria's dream is to be a dancer. Norbert, who doesn't know this yet, is represented as one of these fish. And Norbert's dream is not to be eaten by the shark. But Maria's looking at Norbert, if they were to have a conversation, and saying, how can that be a school when there's no building? And Norbert is saying, how can she be a school when it doesn't move? The building doesn't move. The idea of school is a program or an organization. The dance school, once Maria is graduated, the dance school will still be there. Now, for Norbert, he's not been eaten. His idea of school is something like a swarm, a herd, or a flock. As you can see, he's with his friends, the school of fish. Once the fish have dispersed, there's no longer any existence. The school doesn't exist anymore. So that is completely gone. School, one word, two different meanings. I was really pleased a few weeks ago. I heard Mary talking about going away to, what was the, Naturally Supernatural. And everyone that came back used this phrase, that it was nice to spend time with family. And I thought, fantastic, because this has been something that's really resonating with me about us here as a church and as family. So, what I want to do now is, Norbert is now, he's not a fish anymore, he is now a first century Christian. You'd rather be the shark. His fellowship is small, and it's mainly made up of a handful of friends, neighbors that meet regularly in his home. Right? And he refers to his gathering as family. Maria is what we call today's Christian. She doesn't think her church is very big, but it is too big to hold meetings in her home. So, her group, they have a building with a small paid staff and volunteers that run the youth group and various other activities. What is the difference? You may say, there is no great difference. Well, technically, there is not a lot of difference. But listen to some of the ways that we use the word church. What church do you go to? What time does church start? Look at that lovely wooden church. Now you could say exactly the same thing with school. What time does school start? What school do you go to? Look at that lovely wooden school. In both cases, the church and the school is separate from the individual. In both cases, school is separate from the individual. Right? So they've separated themselves from the school and from the church. Try doing the same with family. What time is family? What family do you go to? Look at that lovely wooden family. Just doesn't make sense, does it? Just doesn't make sense. Thank you. You can take your seats. Thank you. So, church is literally one word with one meaning until we gave it another. Because as we know, the church is you and me. It is us. We are the church. So when we talk about going to church, it seems a bit strange, really. You're going to yourself. That doesn't really make sense. We are the church, and we ought to be the church all the time. So you don't divorce yourself from, when you walk out of this building, I'm not in church. But you are the church. When you walk out of this building is just a building. We only use it for worship. This building carries no power whatsoever. The power is in you. It's been placed in you. God did not call us to go to church. He called us to be the church. I have a few friends that whenever I meet with them, I feel as if I've been in church. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Robbie's one. Most of us know Robbie. Now, because me and Robbie are in very similar kind of fields of work, sometimes he comes down to my workplace and he walks in and he goes, Kelvin, how you doing? I says, all right, Robbie. He said, God is good. You know, and I think, oh, yes, God is good. And the amazing thing is, my boss, who's not a Christian, right, Robbie just looks at him and goes, it's real, you know. And my boss will go, well, what are you talking about? Jesus, he's real. And I thought, I know, I've worked with my boss for 17 years and I can't talk to him like that. Right? He knows I'm a Christian, he understands my beliefs, and you know, I share my faith with him. But the way that Robbie goes in there, you know, full on, you know, it just amazes me. Because he's carrying the church. He is the church. So when he's on a roof, as we found out here, he was on the roof with a young guy he had working with him, witnessing while he's working. Brought him to Christ while he's on the roof. That's the church. That's what the church is about. It's not about us running around trying to find this place, that place, whatever. The church is you and me. The word church has become an institution, basically. We go around and you see places all over the place and you think, oh, there's a lovely old church. You know, I mean, we used to look at this building, didn't we, and say, it's a lovely old chapel. Well, it's not so old now that we've done so much work to it. But church, the early church, simply just met in each other's homes. And the amazing thing is, the church grew phenomenally. And in Acts 5:42, it says, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease to teach and preach that Jesus is the Christ. Now, they talk about the temple there, which was a much bigger building. But amazingly as well, they gathered at the temple and they were teaching Jesus Christ, right? Not necessarily what the Pharisees and the others would be teaching. The Sadducees and them, they'll be teaching the Old Testament. Now, Jesus now is on the scene and now is a... And it amazes me that he managed to gather in a place where there's different cultures, and he gathered people, maybe not in the innermost part of the temple, but they gathered people, there were places where they could gather, and they were having meetings together. Hebrews tells us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. I want to share a little bit of my upbringing. Some of you might have heard some of this before, and apologize. But I want to show you something about the whole idea of church, how it starts on a good note and it can get distorted or warped in its theology and its thinking. My parents, when they came to the UK, were so excited because everywhere they went, they saw a cross. And when they saw a cross, they believed that was a genuine place of worship. And, right, for those who may not know, from the Caribbean, a lot of people who came over, and they were part of what we call the Pentecostal movement. Now, for those who know about Pentecostal people, right, they're not quiet.
Amen.
Right? They, yeah. They are not quiet at all. Unfortunately, many times my parents and others went to certain churches, they weren't welcome. And this is for varying reasons. It's not all to do with racism. There's so many different reasons. But as I grew up, I started to look at certain things and I started to recognize certain things about the church. My mum, especially, because I can talk about my mum because I know my mum very well. My mum especially, and you've seen her come here a few times. She lived as if Jesus was coming tomorrow or the next moment. So we were brought up extremely strict. You know, Paulette's the same. Her mum was exactly the same. Probably a little bit worse than my mum, actually. But no, they were very, very strict upbringing. Very, very biblical principles, right? We couldn't knock the biblical principles. And it was strict to a sense of my group, my age group, we wanted to rebel because we didn't want to go down that road. All our friends were doing this over here and our parents were saying, nope, you got to go to church. You got to do this. And it was extremely strict. But the one thing about my mum was everywhere she went, she carried Jesus with her. I think I've told a story before about my mum's accident. She lost four of her fingers. She'd been married for the best part of 8 years, unable to have any children. And when she had the accident, every time I tell this story, it really does fire me up a bit because she had the accident. It chopped her fingers off. Now, most people would, some sort of a curse word or something. My mom shouted, "Hallelujah," the highest praise. Now, you wouldn't believe from her saying that, people turned around and said, "Now we know this woman is a real Christian." Now, what it is that because they believed and carried Jesus with them in everything that they did, they did not feel ashamed to call on his name whenever that they wanted to. One of the things, some of the stories our parents used to tell us is one of the reasons why they weren't welcome in some of the churches was simple things like they'd go in, the vicar was giving his talk, and they agree with what the vicar is saying, and they say, "Amen." Now, that's an interruption in the service. That was interrupting the service, and they were actually told not to come back. You know, it's, but because they carried the church, if you're carrying something and it's real, you can't just put it down whenever you want to. It's in you. It's your DNA. My mum told me a story also about, because as Pentecostals, extremely lively people, she said, we remember being in a service, and the service was a bit sort of dragging. They were singing the songs, and the songs just weren't going anywhere. So one of her sisters in the church got a tambourine out and started playing this tambourine, trying to liven the service up. Right? Again, they were told, you're disrupting the service. Would you mind not coming back? The other thing was speaking in tongues. That was a big no-no. When they were in church and they felt the Spirit of God. Now, the thing is, people say things like, I've heard this, and you've probably heard this, that church is dead. And I think to myself, how can a church be dead when the church is the people that's in the church and they're actually alive? Surely there should be something in at least one person that's going to ripple. Now, what would happen is, as one person began speaking in tongues, somebody else would sort of, and want to give an interpretation of what it, but that wasn't the done thing back then. As I grew up, I'll be really honest, my parents, my mum and dad, they began what was called a home group. We would call it a home group today. Now, for me, as a young, I'm the eldest of seven, as a young boy growing up, brought up in this very strict background, I understood what it was when people spoke in tongues. I mean, I've seen some things, some awesome stuff, you know, when the power of God is moving and you think to yourself, whoa, it could only be God. It can't be anything else. But my parents began a home group in their church, in the house. Unfortunately, or I should say fortunately for them, they would only be able to get people of color into those groups because as people came from the Caribbean, and this is truth, right? When people came from the Caribbean, they would go around and would ask, excuse me, I'm looking for a church. There's some people of your color meeting down there. And it was like, ooh. But as a result, the church just down the road here, the New Testament Church of God, was actually birthed in my mom's house. That's where it started. The only problem they have there, or they had, it's not the same now, was it only attracted people of color for many years. You know, if you go on the wider church now, it's quite mixed. And if you go to America, in America, it's the opposite. It's predominantly white in America, right? But what I'm saying is, church in itself is not about your color. your race or your background. It's about what Jesus Christ has done in you as an individual. And as I was looking at all the things to do with church, as a child growing up, I honestly thought it was only people of color that spoke in tongues, right, and prophesied. I'm being honest. Until we started visiting other fellowships. And it shocks me. It's like, for instance, I mean, this is an aside. The very first time we went to the Caribbean, right, I saw a white chap, and he spoke to me in Patois, which is the Caribbean. And I was blown away because he couldn't speak proper English. And I said to him, so how long have you been on the island? He said, I was born here. Now, it's a conception we have that because someone is black, they're from Africa. Because someone is white, they're from England. I had the same when I went to South Africa. I sat down in a restaurant. The woman came to me. She said, in their language. And I looked at her, looked at the interpreter, said, this is what I want. And she said to him, why can't he speak South African? Because he's from England. And she went, ah! See, sometimes we've already sort of judged the situation, you know, just by seeing what we see with our naked eyes. The church is global. It is you and me, the body of Christ. It is not, and it never, ever will be perfect until the day that Jesus Christ comes to take us, his bride. The church is full of flaws, broken, bruised, imperfect people from all walks of life, from all different races, different countries, but we're all on one mission: to preach the gospel, to make disciples, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our mission. Simple. I think sometimes we can get so wrapped up in theology. And don't get me wrong, I've done theology myself, right? But sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the theology of stuff that we forget the crux of what we're here for. And the truth is, the church will not exist without you and me. You know, like the school of fish. Once they've dispersed, it's gone. But we know the church isn't going to die. We know that's not going to go away at all. The fact remains here. We are being called to make disciples. And you and me are the only hands and feet that our Father has. And he's given us a mandate to go into the world, to preach the gospel, and to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As they say, simples. It's really not rocket science. But the problem sometimes is that we actually don't believe we have the power. We don't believe in what God has imparted to us through the Holy Spirit. Pray for the sick and they will recover. He did not say anywhere in the Bible, let the pastor pray for the sick and they will recover. He said, pray for the sick. Lay hands on. It tells you what to do. It doesn't give you a formula or anything like that. And the only thing we have to do is believe. Trust God and believe. Job done. So let me challenge you today. if you've got loved ones that you feel that there's a lot of work to do with them, trust God. Because he's given you everything you need to win them. It's not about formulas or anything like that. It's all about just putting your trust in God and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. Let the Holy Spirit do what he's supposed to do. We do what we're supposed to do. And when we work together, which is what we're supposed to do, we will see results. God bless you.